Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And welcome in to the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road. Sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle. Small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. I'm Joe Rex Road. On microphone one, to your dismay. But to your delight, Paul Kaharski on microphone two. Robbie Stanley did a great thing in not watching the Super Bowl and instead going to It's a Small World After All. Probably a little bit of, you know, young Allison probably had little princess meetings there with some of those princesses over at Disney World down in Florida. So we are here with producer Nick Keyser to clean up the mess of that Super Bowl, the worst Super Bowl PK since Denver Panthers, Cam Newton's MVP year, right? Probably?
Yeah. Maybe Seattle?
But that was before that, right? Seattle blew out Denver, and then
that was before
and
that.
Then Denver beat
yeah.
the Panthers. I mean, we've had an incredible run of good Super Bowls, and for those of you who are a certain age, who are in our range, we remember when it used to be
always
an
bad.
Annual waste of time. Like, how are the commercials? And you just wanted good games. We finally got Bills Giants, right? Well, actually, Niners Bengals. That was the first one in forever, right? That was good. And it came down to Joe Montana leap, right? And then I think the next year you had to have the Niners Broncos which I think was in New Orleans, which was gross. This one was just about that. I mean, 40-22 is the final, but this was not a 40-22 game. This was just an absolute domination by the Philadelphia Eagles. So let's just start with your primary takes from this game. There's so many takes can be generated from this game, but your primary
I kind of feel like for a bad game, it was a good game in that it was such a clinic by Philadelphia against an excellent team. So what does it say about just how good Philadelphia is considering what teams couldn't do against Kansas City getting here? I mean, I think it makes Buffalo look worse. You know, you use the transitory property here a little bit. You know, I know it's game to game and all of that, but I mean, just all the Kansas City hype makes all of us just look foolish. Not that we should have seen it coming, but this team, not everybody has Philadelphia's personnel, granted. You come out of the Super Bowl every year and the winner is the team that you model yourself after. So what's the model here? Rush with four. Get yourself people up front and don't have the second guy miss. Because how often has Mahomes been under initial pressure and he just tiptoes out of it and kills you? And this team had a second and a third guy ready there to not just tackle him, but to make sure his arm couldn't do anything. So
meanwhile, Jalen Hurts on the other side is getting past the first, second guy whenever he wants.
Yes, he was very Mahomes-ish in his game. So, I mean, just Philadelphia's pass rush was ridiculously good in this game. And somebody on that line should have been MVP. I know it's very difficult for a group of sports writers they can't find a guy. Just find a guy. Pick Josh Sweat or pick Milton Williams.
Sweat had 2.5, right?
Two and a half sacks. Sweat had 6 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 2 tackles for a loss, 3 quarterbacks hits. Those stats overlap, but that's fine. Milton Williams, 4 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for a loss, a quarterback hit, forced fumble, fumble recovery. Pick one of those two guys and vote for him as representative of the defensive effort. It's almost automatically the quarterback of the winning team, no matter what. And Hurts was good, But he was just very good. Picking him because he was the better than singular good. Guy. But they won this game because of the defensive line and because of the pass rush.
Well,
and so represent that for once. When's the last time we've had a defensive MVP? It's probably been 20 years.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I think there's a lot of Super Bowls where a quarterback just defaults to the MVP and someone else could have won it. I could make a case for Jalen Carter, too.
Sure.
Even though he didn't have the numbers, but he's the guy who you can't block, and then everybody else gets – better situation because of him, right? So I don't disagree. By the way, we are broadcasting for the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And if you want to join the conversation, phone or text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com, 615-737-1025. Call or text.
You never know what happens here, but I heard a stat on the way in. This is like one of four teams in NFL history with, I think, 11 starters under 25. And the other three won a second championship. So they are in a good place in terms – I mean, that's a hell of a roster.
Yeah. Look, I think to me one of – I mean, maybe my – I know that a lot of the takes, and we'll get into it, like the Mahomes thing and Brady – I mean, there's going to be some people who come out of there, Mahomes, a goat. I'm like, look, this is the second Super Bowl I've watched Patrick Mahomes have no chance. And it happened against Brady and the Bucs. And that was even
– Yeah, right. The Bucs did the same thing.
They did the same thing. And the Chiefs reworked their offensive line. Look, the quarterback's the most important position. We'll all agree, of course. But then it is – I would argue defensive line, if I could be great anywhere – after that, it would be defensive line, and then it would be very close to that offensive line. I mean, that to me, like, look, skill matters, corners matter, receivers matter, running, everything matters. I'm going in my priority, and that's before this game, you know, quarterback, D-line, O-line. The Eagles have, you could argue, especially after this playoff run, you could argue they have the best D-line and O-line in the NFL. You could make that case.
Absolutely.
The case has been made for their O-line, I think, all year. But the D-line – and I guess, you know, Paul, think about, like, early season with the Eagles and some struggles and Sirianni. You know, there was a lot of Sirianni talk. We'll get into him, too. But, like, I guess I didn't realize how dominant they were. And I think they got better as the season went on. But, again, when it comes down to it, if you – are flat out better at the line of scrimmage in this game. It's always going to be a line of scrimmage game. Always has been, always will be, you know, as long as it's a full contact sport. And they have built just an incredible situation on both sides of the ball. So, you know, they also have, again, a very good quarterback. I mean, I'm with you on the MVP, but also – I was really impressed with him. When he had to, when they threw a lot of stuff at him.
He played great.
He played great. When, you know, they threw the blitz, he had the answer. He had the answer quickly. And Spagnuolo threw everything. And Spagnuolo's been befuddling people all year. And
it was Fangio's turn.
Yeah, Fangio was great. But Hurts and how he handled things just was really, he's a heck of a football player, man. And, you know, again, this is like the dream is you build a team like this. And then you have a second-round quarterback who, you know, does what he has done. He's an incredible story all his own.
Caliendo is a weakness there on the offensive line. But you got to keep in context, too, this is no patsy offensive line that the Eagles are beating up here. I mean, Thuney's an all-pro, Humphrey's an all-pro, and Trey Smith's a pro bowler, like not a substitute pro bowler. First line Pro Bowler. So you got three premier guys on this offensive line.
But if you watched them last night,
no, they weren't good.
Yeah, I mean,
they weren't good.
That's the thing, man.
But all season long,
yeah, sure, I mean, sure,
their body of work is pretty good.
Their body of work's pretty good. Yeah, but I do think there's a little
old, maybe.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, like Trey Smith had a tough game, man. Yeah. That's not the game you want to go into free agency on. I mean, he's going to get paid by them or by somebody.
Probably by them.
Boy, probably. But, they're, you know, I think there is something maybe also, PK, to, you know, like Charles Robinson last week came out, he's like, there's just a weird vibe with the Chiefs. Like, they're just, you can tell they're just sick of all of this stuff, you know, which I thought, I was like, yeah, I can see that. But I mean, you're trying to win a championship.
Well, if you're sick of all of this stuff, you could stop doing
exactly.
some of this stuff.
Stop going.
If you stop of seeing yourself on TV, I would imagine that's part of it, that you're in every commercial, you know. You don't have to do a fumble rooski or whatever it is. Bundle rooski.
Bundle rooski.
Everybody's sick of that. If you're sick of it, then don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting, I don't know. They seemed lethargic early, and then it's like they couldn't get it back. Remember, the Eagles were kicking their butt 2 years ago, and then they got the scoop and score and the game flipped, but they were taking it to them 2 years ago, and it's just, you know. This one was, I kept waiting for them to, okay, they're going to have a drive here. Come on. They're not going to put together a drive. I mean, they had no offense until garbage time, really.
Oh,
they had no offense until garbage time. It's amazing.
I mean, I just went through the game book and wrote this down. They had 13 drives. 12 of them were 5 plays or fewer. 11 of them had 1 first down or no first downs. 9 of them had a punt or to start the game. 9 of their 13 drives to start the game ended with the punt or a turnover. 6 of them were 12 yards or fewer. I mean, that's Tennessee Titans level offense out of the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
I mean, Mahomes is sitting there like 33 passing yards, you know, until, again, it's just, okay, we're going to back off and you can take short stuff. And even, you know, even when they had an opportunity, you know, the thing is, so what is the score? 17-0? Or is it 24 when he has Hopkins just alone on the sideline there? He has DeAndre Hopkins alone on the sideline, where if you make that play, you're at least getting a field. Like, he's got the field. You know, you got a chance to score, but you're going to get a field goal, and you just botch that, you know. But that was one of very few moments where they actually had a play they could have made. For the most part,
They had some other ones. Hopkins stumbles and drops.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Where he's that side of the field is open.
He tripped a little bit.
Like he tripped.
It's a combo terrible play. Kelce had maybe 2 drops in the course of that.
Yeah.
He's their rhythm guy. They never established any kind of rhythm whatsoever. So in addition to the Eagles playing excellent defense, Kansas City wasn't doing any of the kind of things that Kansas City does that gets Kansas City going.
Right.
Their screens and the quick stuff that get them in a thing, I think the offensive game plan wasn't really there. And that leads us to a place where there was another mismatch last night that was unexpected, and it was Sirianni and his coordinators, chosen not by him, against Reed and his guys who've been superior all year. And Philadelphia won this on the coaching level, a very high level.
They did, but again, man, if you can't block anybody, I don't care what your plan is. And I just – you watch so many of these plays are just dead immediately.
But they should have gone, like, quicker tempo earlier.
Quick game.
You can't just say, okay, 24, that's fine. We'll come out in the second half.
Yeah, no, sure. I mean, I don't disagree. Quick game earlier. I mean, there's no attempt to run the ball. But it's like if you're going 3 and out, like, you know, that's – I mean, they had nothing going at all.
And we'll get back into the announcers, but like one of the things they were saying that was annoying me is, well, they're doing a really good job on Saquon. Well, great. I mean, if everything else is going wrong, who cares? You sacrifice Saquon for the day.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Chiefs' defense broke eventually. They were fine. Chiefs' defense was fine. I mean, you got a pick 6, and you gave them 2 touchdowns. Yeah. Your offense gave them 2 touchdowns, so – yeah, I mean, the defense was ready for a fight and would have given you a chance if your offense had any hope at all.
We're giving him the ball so fast, he exhausted. Also, time of possession was, you know, over the moon.
Yeah. All right, we come back. We will get into other takes that, of course, we must get in, including the quarterback takes here on the Super Bowl. Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3 the game.
3-2-1. It's over. The Philadelphia Eagles have won Super Bowl 59. They have beaten the Kansas City Chiefs 40-22. It's their second Super Bowl win in 7 years. What a game. What a season. What a team. The greatest Eagles team in modern history. Eagles fans, savor it and rejoice.
And that was the The Eagles call. The Eagles flagship. I don't know who the Eagles play-by-play guy is. Do you?
I don't either, but I don't care for him based on that. It sounded like he's doing a John Sterling imitation.
I don't know who John Sterling
John
is.
John Sterling is the Yankee guy who does a Yankees win. Yeah,
Yankees win. Right, yeah. Is he still a play-by-play guy?
No, they brought him back for the playoffs, which is ridiculous. He's an 80-year-old man who retired. But they kicked the people out of the booth when it came for the playoffs and said, you did the regular season. Now we're going to bring back the old man for the playoffs.
Who got kicked out for that?
They had like three different guys rotating through. Now they finally got a full-time guy, Dave Sims, who's very good from Seattle.
I'm so confused by all this. Welcome back into Robbie and Rex Show. Here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Phone and text line driven by WilsonCounty.com. Lots of reaction already. 615-737-1025. Mo mentioned the Patriots-Rams game was horrible. Yes, but it wasn't a blowout. I mean, the Patriots, they were like, neither team could do anything, and then Patriots finally made a big play late and broke it open, right? But, I mean, that was not just a complete runaway blowout like this. Trevor, great point here. D-Hop forced his way to Kansas City, only for Mahomes to play like Will Levis in the Super Bowl.
He got himself a touchdown and a two-point conversion.
He got himself, yes. Titans legends. D-Hop gets a totally meaningless touchdown, two-point. A.J. Brown gets an important touchdown. Touchdown in the Super Bowl, wins a ring right after having a tantrum and almost having a meltdown with Nick Sirianni.
Always something. He's a great, great player.
Great player. Next series,
you let him go here is just a sin.
Yep, it's another reminder last night of the damage of that move to move him, because for all the all the stuff that goes on, it is more than worth it to have him as the player he is. So, good for him to win a ring. So on the point of the Eagles' domination, Joel says, with that, if the two QBs in the draft are not projected, does Abdul Carter become there? A lot of Abdul Carter texts, which, yeah, I mean, look, this game doesn't change that for me. I think you could make a strong case for him if you think he's – what's that?
This game doesn't change that. I mean, the Titans, whether or not the Eagles were a dominant pass rush team yesterday, the Titans are absolutely insufficient at pass rush.
Right. Everybody models whatever the champion did. Yes. And so then you look at that and say, wow, a great pass. Again, we get hung up on QB. You're right. You could have made the QB MVP, the MVP, not the QB. You could have done the same thing when the Bucs won it, because the Bucs did the same thing. They dominated up front with their defense and their defensive front, in particular their linebackers. But
they had six sacks last night and were very, very impressive. Let's remember the Titans' last playoff game. They had nine sacks, and they had insufficient quarterbacking that made the nine sacks irrelevant. So you can't just say, well, boy, you sure have to rush the passer based on what Philadelphia did. And if you throw in three interceptions on the other side, you can undo nine sacks at home.
Hard to do.
Of a big-time quarterback like Joe Burrow, but and still lose.
Yeah. You'd also love to like have that problem again,
right?
And maybe just throw two picks, and then go to the Super Bowl.
I mean, it was everything went wrong on the other side of the ball kind of deal, and they still gave up a critical pass to position a game winning field goal. So if you make one more defensive play on Jamar Chase, things change. But I'm just saying, there's the other side.
It's not a catch all.
Nine sacks, and you lost the playoff.
And you lost. Yeah. Way to bring that up again. Birds play-by-play is Merrill Reese, according to a texter. Been in the role since the early 70s. So if you're a Birds fan listening, you love Merrill Reese.
I watch Merrill Reese play.
It's fine. Yeah?
I think.
Okay. For who? The Birds?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Did he play with Harold Carmichael?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And Jaworski.
And Ron Jaworski. All right. Makes sense. Well, no, they said that he's been in the role since the early 70s. If that's true, then you did not watch him 70s? Play with – yeah, we have some kind of a discrepancy. We're gonna figure that out. So, other things about this, we're gonna get into the QB thing, no question. We have to get into that, but I want to get into Nick Sirianni real quick, because I must say, I mean, even after last night, hearing him talk, sometimes I'm like, what is this guy talking about? He's had there's like a post game after a loss where he didn't even address the team. I don't know how big of a deal. It's just weird. There's weird stuff with him, right? And there's all this stuff with him.
He didn't address the team?
Yeah, that was one of the stories this year. He just get dressed. No words. There's also the Hurts Sirianni thing, which apparently has been strained at times. Yeah, there have been times in the last couple of years where it very much seemed like he would have been actually one of the top guys on the hot seat in the NFL, in part because, look, as we saw last night.
Scratch Merrill Reese. I'm mistaking him for somebody else.
Okay. I was going to say, man, I mean, I didn't realize you were that old. Did he actually play, though? Or is he just
I don't think so.
No, okay. Now I need to know which Eagle you were talking about from the late 70s, early 80s. But, look, Nick Sirianni, you can't take this away from him now. Like you said, Vic Fangio is sort of – this is a great example. I mean, Fangio's like Spagnuolo, right? Some of these lifelong coordinators who are not head coaches, never be head, Dick LeBeau, but, man, they can be such weapons for you. Now, also, Vic Fangio didn't do anything special in Miami. He didn't have this personnel. It's always personnel first. But, yes. I mean, you got to give – like you said, you got to give credit to their coaching staff at large. I think Kellen Moore had a great game. And Sirianni, you know, kept it together. And
they're looking for an offensive coordinator now. I mean, Moore's going to get introduced today, probably in New Orleans, not leave.
Yeah, just stay there. So one thing that I – and they talked about in the broadcast last night is, you know, the sort of reset they had this year, basically like, let's run the football, you know. And, yes, Saquon Barkley is great. You also have a quarterback you can do design runs with and a lot of things. But another example of, again, if, you know, the line of scrimmage and running the football in this game always works.
Also,
if you can do it at a high level.
Here's another thing that maybe pushes the league. They are an incredibly aggressive fourth down team. And it's not just a tush push, which is gives them a hell of an advantage on fourth and one or fourth and one and a half. But they go for it on fourth down very aggressively.
They do.
They did it early at midfield in a situation where a non-conversion would have really killed them.
Well, except their defense probably blows them up with a three and out, right? You have that.
But at that stage of the game, not knowing how the game's going to unfold, you're thinking give Kansas City the ball at the 50 early.
Right.
You're asking for trouble.
But they're not. At the four, right? That's the league now. I mean, not across the board the exact same level of aggression, but there's a lot more.
No, but they are a model for the aggressiveness. And that tush push makes them a four-down team in a lot of way. I mean, you get to fourth and one and a half, they're absolutely going, and their conversion rate is ridiculous. Nobody can stop that thing.
Are you for the tush push being banned?
I'm not, because I feel like they've come up with something that's different and nobody's figured out how to fix it. I think it's awfully Philadelphia specific. If you ban it, you're pretty much banning
other teams. Other teams are doing it now.
Yeah, but they're not doing it the same or with the same effect.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. Yeah, you don't want something where, especially when the champion and it's one of their things. But I have a problem with, like, especially like that we talked about, like Robbie and I talked about, like the Rams game where they're, or the Commanders game where they're, you know, we have 10 minutes of sitting there watching them inch the ball forward at the goal line, you know, and it's just, I don't know. I always thought that you weren't allowed to pull or push players.
Not pull. Can't pull.
Yeah,
but
why is it okay to push?
I don't know.
I mean, just the controversy of the Notre Dame-USC game in 05, you know, when Reggie Bush pushed Liner, like Notre Dame fans are still like up in arms about that, you know, and it's like, but now this is what we see. Like several times in NFL games.
I will say, I said something earlier about this kind of hurting the Bills, transitive property. Like if you can slow down Kansas City the way that Philadelphia just did, doesn't say much for the Bills. This says a lot for the Commanders and what they were able to do against Philadelphia and Jaden Daniels.
Wow.
That he did some things against them.
Well, it's also, don't forget how close the Rams were to beating them. Real close. But that's sometimes how it goes, too. And sometimes a team, you know, a blowout happens in a Super Bowl, and there's really, it's not like there's actually a 30-point difference between those teams. There was last night. We come back. We have to get into the quarterback thing, of course. The GOAT thing. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome in, Robbie and Rex Road. here in the first hour on Monday. Sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Paul Karski in for Robbie this week. We got a whole week of PK. We should rename this, you know, the geriatric show or something like that. Thank you
for applauding my youth.
Well, I mean, I'm also part of the show. I'm including myself in the, you know.
I think this will show, it'll show what level faker you are when we get to discuss the halftime.
Okay. Can't wait for that. Yeah, no, I can't wait for your analysis of that. So let's get into the GOAT. You already said it off the air. This makes you think differently of the whole Mahomes. Obviously, if Mahomes and the Chiefs win last night, he's got something Brady doesn't have. He does not have that now. They did not make history. We still don't have a three-time champion in the Super Bowl era. So
yeah, thank you for saying Super Bowl era, because nobody really said Super Bowl era through the whole they're on the verge of this unprecedented three-peat.
The broadcast last night did a good job.
Yeah, they did a good job later. They didn't do it when they put up the graphic. They didn't do it at one point, but they ultimately did acknowledge that Green Bay, just through the naming of the Super Bowl, still counts as having won three championships in a row, one of them having been before they retroactively went back and named the game the Super Bowl, but that they won, 65, 66, 67 or something like that. But I think Green Bay could have reasonably made more noise about the fact that they, in fact, won three championships in a row.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a technical. I mean, I think the Super Bowl era is a good sort of line of demarcation on a lot of things of the NFL, but
it's an imaginary line in a lot of ways.
But, yeah, that was a dynasty, and, yeah. So, but still, okay, in the Mahomes-Brady thing, this would have been something, obviously, that Brady had never done. He didn't do it. I think there's going to be some exaggeration. I've already seen that this ends it forever. No. Forget it. No, it does not end it forever.
It slows it down. To me, it slows it down. They're both 3-2, if I'm not mistaken. So they're Mahomes is now on a similar pace to Brady. But it's a long way to 7. I don't know that he has to have 7 to be the GOAT, but I think it's premature to GOAT him now.
I think your
body of work, a guy, and his body of work is far from complete.
Yeah, he's not 30 yet either.
Don't rush to go to him.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly. That's totally fair. And honestly, even if he would have won last night, see, that's the thing. We flip it around, and there would be people saying, that's it!
Oh, absolutely.
And I wouldn't have agreed with
that. He did something that Brady didn't do, so he's to go.
And that to me, that wouldn't have done it either. Like, let's see how it plays out. Are they going to keep, is he going to keep knocking on the door? Are they going to keep being great? He going to keep being great? I still think Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. I'd pick him first. I'd pick him first over Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, whoever you want. I'll take him first. I think And last night he was not good. I mean, that first pick was terrible. The second pick, which gave them a free touchdown, also was him getting. I mean, that's a short completion, but he's hit right as he throws, and the ball, it was a great example of what happened to him last night.
The pick six.
No, the pick six was a terrible pass by him. But the second pick that Bond got in the middle of the field, I'm like, what is Mahomes doing today, right? Great tweet by Ari Wasserman. Like, it looks like he was coached by Tommy Tuberville. but then you watch the replay of that play, and he got hit right. He got hit right as he threw it, and the ball got. The ball came up short because of that. You look at his offense. Just I don't want to sit here and just make excuses for Patrick Mahomes all day, but the offensive line got dominated. They have no run game. I mean, Xavier Worthy's a nice, fast rookie. Kelsey's old. Like, they have a ton of work to do, man.
I'm not buying this narrative, though, and ESPN was giving this narrative a little bit.
But their offense was weak all year.
The Chiefs don't have the talent. They were given this, like the Chiefs for some – this was something they gave some air to, I think, yesterday during the, necessary
you
8 hours of pregame.
Yeah.
Where they had a thing. Well, the Chiefs don't have the talent. Like, they were really going to have to overcome something coming into this game, which is a brutal narrative. The Chiefs had four All-Pros, Thuney, Humphrey, Chris Jones, McDuffie, second-team All-Pro, and you add in Kelsey and Trey Smith as Pro Bowlers. That sounds like a lot of talent to me.
I understand.
And the quarterback is like in the conversation for the greatest quarterback of all time. That's a talented team, Chief.
Sure. Of course it's a talented team. And the defense, again, they got hung out to dry by their offense. I don't think it's an especially talented offense, other than Mahomes. Yes, you can talk about Kelce being a Pro Bowler. Great. Watch Travis Kelce play. He's not Travis Kelce.
No, he's slowed down.
There are great players who get Pro Bowls late in their career because of their name that they create. Right?
Certainly.
I mean, he's an example of that.
But there was no conversation before yesterday about the Chiefs. No major conversation about the Chiefs lacking talent. The Chiefs find ways to win.
I disagree with you.
The Chiefs win every close game.
Right.
They've got a super talent for winning close games.
But why are
We're not talking about their talent deficiency this year.
No, that's not true. Why are they in close games? Why does every game have to be close? Why are they scoring 20 against average defenses? Those conversations happened all year, PK. Yes, incredible job of finding a way, but why are they always in these games? Because their offense isn't very good. It's pretty bad.
Also because it's the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the NFL. But again, you're talking about the best teams, who's going to win a championship. Like, I don't think their defense got enough credit or attention because it is
never does.
Super Bowl level. But I think also, last night illuminates, the offense is pretty freaking pedestrian, man. It just is. And, you know,
how many good quarterbacks do we see league history wise not have great receivers? I mean, Aaron Rodgers well documented how little Green Bay spent on wide receivers. Brady throughout his career had that one great flash where they had Randy Moss and a pretty good group, but other than that, they made some average guys into great receivers. Outside of Manning having Harrison and Wayne, the story of a lot of great quarterbacks of the prime of your and my lives is that great quarterbacks make some pretty average guys into great receivers.
Mahomes had
Tyreek early, and they decide, hey, we can do without this guy's big contract and make some less than spectacular guys
and
into good
BS.
Receivers because the quarterback's great.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's some of that. There's also Montana with Rice, and there's also
Burrow's got Chase.
Bradshaw
some teams
with,
really
you know, with
do it. Well,
Swan
you're going way back
to
those guys.
But that's a four Super Bowl winner, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
that's further ancient history.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Even Eli Manning, you know, like Victor Cruz made one of his huge plays.
Yeah.
He was on last night on a TV commercial. They labeled him an NFL legend, Victor Cruz.
Yeah.
Made one play.
No, and I think you go through all those teams you mentioned where their grade was up front, right? At least one side and probably both sides of the ball, right? But, yeah, as far as the Mahomes-Brady aspect of this, yeah, look, it's just let's see. Let's see what he does. Are they going to keep this together? Like, how long does Andy Reid have? You know, I mean, is Kelce getting close to retirement here? I think if he's not, I think he probably needs to. I mean, it just seems to me like he's gotten a little bit soft, a little bit, you know, maybe living the lifestyle a little bit type thing, you know. And I don't know how much he has in the tank to be a great player anyway anymore. But they have to get.
Yeah, they need an infusion of. And, you know, the offensive line, as we said, seems to be getting a little old, but they also need, you know, at least like one, I don't know, maybe Worthy's becoming that guy and we see him go to the next level. But
maybe.
They could use one, like, terrific weapon for him. You know, and even when they, you know, they spent a huge draft pick on Edwards-Helaire and he didn't turn into their running back, you know. And they get something out of Samaje Perine. Well, they need – I'm with you. They need a couple explosive guys that layer on top of what Mahomes can do with – when he can do it with these guys, imagine what he does with a better guy.
Yeah, look, I mean, because Kelce has at least been that guy who, right, through all
safety
this
–
and just like Gronk was for Brady, right? Brady didn't have receivers. He did have one of the greatest tight ends, and that was a big deal for him. And I just think Kelce this year, for the first time, was not one of those guys for him. Not really. Al says, good grief, Joe. Sorry your team lost. These excuses are ridiculous. Goat my ass. Brady never looked like that in a Super Bowl. Well, first of all, Brady won a Super Bowl 13-3. The Rams-Patriots Super Bowl was like there was no – there was like two passes of note in the whole freaking thing. So calm down. Yeah, Brady's the – I mean, look, Brady – it speaks for itself. But no, this is not my team, and I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm saying they're not – they were flawed this year. And, yes, close wins, incredible what they did. But it's also – a lot of times that happens, right? A team, like, keeps winning those games. And either there's a regression where you start losing a bunch of close games, and maybe that happens next year, or at some point you just get your butt kicked. And they got their doors blown off last night. You know,
this
they're
is part.
They're not an elite offensive football team.
This is part of why I did not want them to win. I didn't want them to have the three-peat because I do not think that they are. And this is putting yesterday aside. I didn't think like, are these Chiefs better than the best of the 49ers, the best of the Steelers, the best of the Cowboys, the best of the Patriots? I don't feel like they are. And so that's why I thought, well, if they get this three-peat, they're going to be pronounced as like the greatest Super Bowl dynasty of all time. And I don't think they're that. So I didn't want to see them win it.
Yeah. Well, and it was an emphatic no.
Yeah.
Presented by the Eagles. All right, we're going to get – we'll keep getting into these topics. Also, Aaron Rodgers and the Titans. But we do have to get into commercials and halftime show next. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Paul Kaharsky in for Robbie, who I can't wait to find out. Did he watch – did he actually not watch 1 second of the Super Bowl? It was a good Super Bowl to not watch. Worst Super Bowl since, I think, Broncos over the Panthers 9 years ago, I believe. I believe that's right. The Broncos had a couple nasty ones there, PK. Seahawks blowing them out, them blowing the Panthers out. Since then, we've been on a very good run with some great games, and this was not that. This was a blowout. But also, Super Bowl, we have three things that are non-game. Now, we can get more into any of them, okay? But we're going to hit them all in this segment. And first of all, let's just go quickly. Tom Brady, his performance, not as the GOAT, but as the color commentator on the Super Bowl.
I just think he's bad. I mean, I think he's bad. I think he's just obvious. I mean, in the first quarter, there were two times that he draws on the telestrator after the picture changes. Look at this line here. Well, the picture's already changed. And he's drawing a line on something that's not relevant. He's completely out of sync with the broadcast. I mean, he just says obvious stuff. It's going to be important for Patrick to make a great decision with the football right here on a third and long on the first drive. I mean, tell me something I don't know. I mean, guys in a bar wouldn't even say that. It's so obvious. It's annoyingly obvious. And I didn't just have a problem with him. I thought Burkhart was terrible.
I think Brady makes Burkhart worse because I think Burkhart with Olsen is really good. And I think Burkhart is thrown off by Brady sometimes, and like it's a weird chemistry.
There is 9:51 left in this game. It is 37-6. I don't know if he's trying to hold viewers or what. And I don't buy that people turn this off and go to something else. You have a Super Bowl party or whatever. This is what's on. And you watch the Super Bowl, right? So you're watching a blowout, but you're watching it. 9:51 left, 37-6. This game is absolutely over. And he says, 4 scores and 4 2-point conversions. It won't be easy. It won't be easy. He's talking like it's a game.
Well, let me add to that.
They're not scoring 4 times and getting 4 2-point conversions. It's inconceivable in 9 minutes and 51 seconds.
Yeah, well, let me add to that, and that's more extreme. But coming out of halftime, it's 24-0, and he's like, you know, if they can just like just even like, get to midfield, and like, no, they have to score immediately, like a lot of points, Tom. They don't just get some confidence with a drive to midfield. They're down 24-0. I think another criticism.
I think the Brady thing's been an absolute failure, and I think they both sides need to find an exit. And I don't think Tom has any. From everything I read, Andrew Marchand is spectacular at The Athletic. I used to read him at the Post. There's no touch with reality there. And I hate when celebrities and superstars clearly have nobody telling them the truth.
No, I'm with you. Now if Brady, I think maybe in media there's some level of that, but yeah, I agree. I think, and I also think that I have to blame studio execs for this because I can't, like the Fox people for this. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's him. But another thing that's really drags the broadcast down is that he feels like he has to relate everything to himself. And to me, it's got to be like, Tom, the people want to watch because of you. You're the GOAT. So tell us. So it's like in some instances that works, right? Like there's a relevant comparison to a Super Bowl or something. But like Saquon Barkley last night makes a dive catch. Like, you know, when I played, if the running back just caught the ball, I was like, all right, man, just catch the ball.
Yeah, when he
like,
bobbled
he
it.
Constantly,
when he bobbled it. A bobble from a running back's okay.
But he constantly, he way overdoes it with relating it to himself. And again, to me, it smacks of the TV people say, this is what people want. And maybe not. Maybe he's so obsessed with himself that he just, you know, that's just what he's naturally doing. But I kind of doubt it. It's just, it's very average. And again, I like the hard part for me is not just him, but it's the contrast with, I believe Greg Olsen is the best analyst doing football. And he should have done the Super Bowl last night. And it would have been for anybody who cares about the game and likes things, likes to be told things they don't know and likes to be told why this happened, what would happen here, what this team's in, what that team's in, he's great at that. We got none of that. We get very surface-level blah stuff from Brady.
I don't sense he's coached, too. When you hire a certain level of celebrity, you just put him in there. And maybe at the beginning you kind of set his course or whatever. But like week to week, does he get notes? Is he coached? I don't feel like he is. Or if he is, he's very uncoachable. The best thing Tom Brady did all week, I don't know if you saw it. It was like a 6-minute clip.
Yeah.
It was just him talking in response. I think it was Colin Cowherd.
Yeah.
Where he talked about how much his Super Bowl losses stung. And how that's the worst. If you lose an AFC championship game, nobody remembers and you don't hear about it. But I walk down the street and people say, helmet catch, and they hold their hands over their head and remind me about the helmet catch against me in the Giants Super Bowl and when we were so close, you know? And that they'll remind me of the moments in the losing Super Bowl. And he talked through the psyche of getting that close and losing. He talked about on a Friday night, still studying, was it the Atlanta defense or whichever team's defense? I knew that defense better than they knew themselves, Rams defense or whatever. That was the best 6 minutes that Tom Brady did all week, and it was on a talk show.
Well, yeah, he's good on podcasts and interviews, and I'm sure he's good, you know, we'll see, running the Raiders.
But I
he should not be doing this job.
I think it's absolutely a case of hero worship by Fox. Oh, my God, Tom Brady. They say repeatedly, they mention in all the stories about him, there's always a mention of him selling for them, of him being at their golf tournament, of him closing deals for them, of him being at their big parties. Well, the number one thing is calling the games.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's closing deals for you. I've got to endure those 3 hours last night. And it was bad enough because it was a bad football game. But then you're telling me that it's very important on third down that Patrick Mahomes makes a good decision with the ball, and I want to turn the volume off.
Like, if Brady was, say, put to, like, the second crew, would he quit?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be a mutual departing. Also, he's half-assing everything. So he's half-assing that job, but he's doing that job, which means he can't fully dedicate himself to the other job with the Raiders. So everybody's getting a piece and not the whole thing.
And the fact that
dedicate yourself to something. Look at Manning. Manning's all in on that Manning cast.
Right. And the ridiculousness is that Goodell just brushes off that it's a conflict, which is a complete joke. And yeah, it's got to change, but I don't know if it will. All right, we never got into the halftime of the commercials and Aaron Rodgers. We have all that coming up next. Robbie Rexo, 102.5.
What's up, fools? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.